You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Right after the 9:30 news, our friend and colleague and host of the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Network, Todd Alba, will be joining us after the 10 o'clock news. Hour number 2, Tracy Morgan Hernke has a gluten-free bakery. Mm-hmm. In Milwaukee. And we're going to be talking about tariffs.
Yeah.
And in particular, she's a small business owner. And we've talked before about small businesses are having a tough time dealing not only with the uncertainty, but now the hike in the tariffs and how that is affecting their business and just supply chains and all that stuff. So Tracy's going to be joining us around 10:06 at 10:35. It's a segment we call Audio Sorbet, or we take a little break from the news. Thank you, Calvin.
Ooh.
It's like ear cleansing, as it were. Get away from politics. So today at 10:30, they're out with the list of the most popular names in America.
Mm-hmm.
Boys and girls' names. So we're going to talk about those. And then we want to know, what do you wish you had been named?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who aren't necessarily... You come to just deal with it after a certain amount of time, after a certain age. But I know as a kid, I really wanted a different name.
And it's not just like a regular, like, you know, like, oh, my name is Frank, I'd rather be Steve. If you want to be like, you know, Zorba Frankenstein, that, go for it. We want like, what did you want as a kid name? I always think of the movie Big Daddy, where he names himself Frankenstein, the kid does, because he's like, he can name himself whatever he wants.
Yeah, anything.
Go for it. Just be FCC compliant.
So that will be at 10:35, and then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Kitty Got a Grill edition. You want to stick around for that. And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. To start off with, though, I thought we would kick it off with Wisconsin resident Sean Duffy from the Department of the Dog Ate My Homework. We don't know what happened.
Whose fault is it now, Jane?
It's somebody else's fault. It's just not my fault. It's not this administration's fault. It's got to be somebody else's fault. Sean Duffy, of course, in the news as the head of the Department of Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
There have been problems at the Newark airport that we're going to get to in just a second. I did want to mention this very briefly. There was a really serious fire at an apartment complex in Milwaukee
mm-hmm.
within the last couple of days. About 100 residents were displaced. 5 people have died in this fire. And now these 100 folks are staying in a temporary shelter, and they're being helped out by the Red Cross.
Wonderful.
So if you would like to do something to assist, you can always donate to the Red Cross. Get in touch with them. Maybe there's something else that you can do. But contact the local Red Cross after this big fire at the Highland Court Apartments in Milwaukee. Now, again, 100 residents in temporary shelter. They've lost everything.
I know it's not completely applicable, but this is just always a good time. Whenever you talk about the Red Cross, we talk about things that are happening, tragedies for people. There's never not a good time to give blood. Make an appointment, go out, just take an hour of your time,
yep.
Give blood. It helps so much. They're always in need.
Yes. And we'll put a link to the Red Cross in there
mm-hmm.
in our show notes yeah. as well. You can always find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Click on shows. Go to Matinee on Air. And there's at least 100 former earlier episodes that you can go back and listen to
yep.
if you so choose. But going back to Wisconsin's own Duffster, here is the headline from The Independent. Sean Duffy blames Biden for Newark airport crisis, but also says it should have been fixed during COVID when Trump was in office.
Womp womp.
This is just so inevitable. it seems.
Yes.
And I guess what bothers me even more, this assumption, I think, that no one's going to go back and check.
You mean just a calendar?
Yeah, like- yeah, exactly. Just this, I'm going to say this thing that's a blatant lie, that's blatant BS, and nobody's going to check it, and everyone's just going to swallow it and go on with their day. Yeah, no.
No, and but I also, you know, the other thing I think about, too, is that it's a classic example of people like Sean Duffy, however you want to look at him, whether it's, hey, he's a Republican, he's a Trumper, he's rich, he's this, he's that. He's just a guy who doesn't care enough to know when things actually happened or like affect people. Like if he would, you know, he was staying on brand, he would never would have said during COVID. He would have said, you know, during the Biden administration, they could have fixed this. We were trying to build back America. You know what I mean? Like there are different ways you could focus the blame, but he doesn't care. So he just said during COVID, and that was dumb of him.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't actually realize who was in charge when COVID hit.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Is like he really just does it. Like he doesn't care enough to know things. So he says whatever. And then he does things like this. He says just dumb stuff.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy on Monday, largely blaming a string of problems at Newark International Airport and the larger issues with our flight. Air traffic controllers, yeah. All of those things on the Biden administration. But he also accidentally indicted Trump for not doing more. Here's the quote. We didn't have to be here. This did not have to be our story. Over the last 4 years, the administration, they knew this was a problem. And by the way, during COVID, when people weren't flying, that was a perfect time to fix these problems, unquote. It would have been a good time to fix these problems. Yes. Yeah. And you know who was in charge at that time? Donald Trump.
Yeah. I think that the thing he's going around talking about now is that these are like decades old structures. Their equipment is old. They need to be up to. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But we're also dealing with an administration that's slashing and burning jobs, departments. So. And they're not using that money for infrastructure. They're going to use that money for tax cuts. So where are they going to get the money? He is positive that they're going to get the money. Where are they going to get that money from? Because if you think about all of the airports, just the major ones, just go. Every state has a major airport, pretty much.
Pretty much.
How much do you think it would cost to overhaul all the towers in all the major airports? And some of them have two. Like you, like California, they probably have at least three major airports, if not four. So you're talking about billions of dollars. Where is that money going to come from?
They're going to raise the debt ceiling to $4 trillion.
Oh, cool. That's, you know.
So all the problems disappear.
Yeah. I would really like to find someone, and I think I'm going to speak with, you know, I want to find someone to take us through the timeline of this all. Because, yes, I don't doubt that fixes and upgrades can be made. But I also don't remember blackouts and malfunctions and planes flying at each other and helicopters crashing and people dying over the past even 4, 5, 6 years, even during Trump won. This all seemed to be starting in the past few months. And that also coincides with them firing a lot of people who work in the airline industry. So I'd love to know the timeline of all of these things so we can, and I don't want to blame. I don't, because I think absolutely we can make the changes and upgrade, but it just seems too convenient, of course, because that's what they want to do. It's Biden's stock market. It's Biden's FAA.
Unless
it's Buttigieg's fault. Yes.
Unless it's good.
1,200 points yesterday, folks. We are the best ever.
We're so good.
America's back.
Airlines and unions have called on the government to do more for decades. So, again, I'm not saying that there's not plenty of blame to go around. We could do this. We could say the same thing about the immigration problems.
Mm-hmm.
That can has been kicked down the road for decades under both administrations.
Yeah, both sides are to blame for not doing the work that's needed, because it's easier to do nothing and bloviate on a podium than it is to actually put your name on a piece of legislation and fight.
Well, and stand up for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Again, airlines and unions have been calling on the government to do more for decades under the Biden administration. Then head of the Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, asked Congress to provide more funding to hire thousands of new air traffic controllers. Guess what happened? House Republicans blocked that effort.
And I'm pretty sure when that happened, wasn't Sean Duffy a congressman at the time? I think he was.
I think he was.
If he wasn't, I know that there was a similar piece of legislation
that he voted against.
That he voted against. And he was also a lobbyist for the airline industry.
Which I did not know until like over the weekend. Duffster was lobbying for the airline industry.
And he wasn't lobbying for our safety or for lower prices or anything. Like, he was looking to deregulate, because they love nothing more than no rules.
Some FAA jobs that were eliminated, this from the Associated Press, did have direct roles in supporting safety inspectors and airport operations. Remember when Trump 2.0 came in, they immediately fired about 400 people from the aviation industry.
Great.
400.
What a move to make America great again.
Absolutely. And then I saw something yesterday that because Duffy and his wife live out east now, and she works on Fox.
Yeah.
And he was saying, on the one hand, Newark is perfectly fine. You can fly in and out of Newark, no problem. I know, you know, we're having issues. But it's all good.
Yeah.
And then in the same sentence, in the next sentence, he said, however, I did rebook my wife's flight and moved her out of Newark.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily reassuring.
No, it doesn't sound like you have a lot of confidence. Even though, and he also said everything is working fine now. He said that. I mean, it's just a lot of conflicting messages coming through. I mean, at the end of the day, whomever's in charge, I want them to do the best job, and I want them to fix the airports. If the airports need a fixing, fix the airports.
Well, but my other concern, and we're just about to go to break, but my other concern is they're going to open the doorway for Elon to take this all over with one of his systems.
Well,
it's a mess. What are we going to do? Let's give it to Elon.
I don't know.
Elon will fix it.
Elon's kind of not around.
Elon's on the trip with Trump.
Oh, really?
Overseas, yes.
Oh, I thought they were breaking up.
No.
Oh, man.
Maybe he doesn't want him seen around here so much.
Yeah.
But Elon is still very much in the White House.
Blech.
Yeah. When we return, speaking of planes, we're going to continue our conversation about flying. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
She gives me, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James says.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855 752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 9:30 news. Todd Alba will be here from the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 p.m. We're going to talk a little bit about the broadband expansion, which was really important for rural areas. If you remember during COVID, there were a lot of folks that had to go sit outside McDonald's to access Wi-Fi so kids could do their homework.
Yeah.
There's been a snag now.
Okay.
We'll talk about that coming up with Todd Alba after 9:30, so I hope you can stay tuned for that. Did want to talk about flying since we started off talking about Sean Duffy, the head of the Department of Transportation. And, of course, Donald Trump has now accepted a free jumbo jet from the Qatar government. Perfectly normal.
Pam Bondi said it was fine.
Pam Bondi, who, by the way...
Oh, yes.
Before she became our attorney general and before she had that office in Florida, Pam Bondi was paid $115,000 a month by the Qatar government to lobby for them.
For what? Like, I guess...
Ski Qatar? I'm not sure. I don't know. She was a lobbyist for the Qatar government. And now they want to give our president a free jumbo jet. Nothing to see here. No emoluments clause. This couldn't possibly be a payoff or a quid pro quo, considering that Trump just announced they're going to have a property in Qatar. No, no, no. They wouldn't ever do that.
This is just, I mean, once again, Trump fans... Make it makes. How is this okay when the when any other president, Bush Senior,
Obama,
Roosevelt couldn't accept gifts like this. Couldn't accept a gift of like even a cheap watch. They have to hand it over to the gifts group, and so they can register it, archive it, and it's gone.
Yep.
How is this okay? How is this good? And it's not free, Jane. Let's remember.
Oh, right.
This is not a free plane, because not just the fact it comes with the request and really the demand of influence from this plane, because that's how this president works, is influence. Because, you know, if he wants my Yeti cup, I can give that to him and see what it gets me. But it's going to be refurbished to be an Air Force One plane.
And who would be paying for that refurbishment? Don't tell me.
Let's see here. We're talking about the refurbishment.
Yep.
We're talking about the upkeep.
Yep.
We're talking about all the security.
Yep.
We're talking about the people who have to work on it, the Secret Service who have to man it, and the pilots who have to fly it. That money comes out of the pockets of Donald Trump himself. I'm kidding. It's the taxpayer.
Yeah, we would get to pay for those refurbishments.
To the tune of tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars over time.
And then after his term ends... Assuming it ends, it's going to go to his library.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
It's going to go to his library.
So we're getting a plane for 4 years? Not even like three and a half years?
Not even for a decade.
Who's going to go that long? That's a different discussion. But yeah, this is just nothing but, I mean, it is literally like, you know, the elephant in the room. This is the plane in the room. This is bribery to the nth degree. And you cannot make this make sense to me. You cannot make this. There isn't a version of this where they say, well, if the government of Qatar give it to the American people,
no.
This is a violation of the Constitution. One of many.
It's a grift. Even, and this is what blows my mind, even Laura Loomer, the hard right activist and Trump whisperer, has spoken out against this. Laura Loomer.
Folks, it's Tuesday, May 13th, 9:26 a.m.
Write it down.
And Jane Mantenere is about to do something I thought that was never going to happen in my life. Jane, how do you feel about Laura Loomer's thoughts?
I agree with her.
Oh, my God!
I know, Calvin. That's exactly how I feel. Here is her quote. How are we ever supposed to see the U.S. under the Trump administration designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization if the U.S. is now going to accept a $400 million jet from Qatar to fly the U.S. president and his staff around? Calling this a stain on his administration, Loomer says, I love President Trump. I would take a bullet for him, but I have to call a spade a spade. We cannot accept a $400 million gift from jihadists in suits, unquote.
Well, I guess I would have toned down a little bit on the Islamophobia, but I understand the sentiment, and I agree with the fact that just that, even if there was nothing having to do with the Muslim Brotherhood, which maybe speaks to my lack of knowledge of who runs the country, but still, it's a $400 million plane.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here except for the giant plane landing on our collective wallet.
Well, and the other thing, too, now security officials are saying there would be all kinds of issues with going over this plane to make sure, I don't know, there aren't spying devices on board.
Well, that just is...
Because why would a different country do something like that?
That's what I'm talking about, too. It's not just the... Okay, yeah. So as far as I can tell, I just wanted to look it up. The Muslim Brotherhood does not run Qatar. But... Yeah, that's the thing is when they have an Air Force One built, as far as I remember from those documentaries I watched as a kid, it's built from the ground up, custom made for this country. They don't just take some TWA plane from 87 and like, let's refurbish this puppy and let's put some white walls on it.
We got a bunch of comments on the text line. Jack from Merrimack, Trump accepts a $500 million flying palace from Qatar. Can we say foreign emoluments? Tom from West Allis, how is it that the senator who got caught with all those hidden golden bars
yes.
and had to go to prison, how is that okay then for Trump and his plane? And John from West Bend, Hillary Clinton couldn't keep a $475 necklace when she was Secretary of State, but Trump can keep a $400 million plane.
And the answer to that is, yeah, he can.
Apparently so. Well, we'll see how that shakes out. We have news coming up next. When we come back, Todd Alba will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He has a fabulous program from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, including... a really fun segment called What's Worse, which is so good. Todd Alba is here. Good morning, my friend. How's it going?
I am fantastic. Jane, Greg, Kelvin, how the heck are you?
Good. Good to see you. I really do love What's Worse. It's so much fun, and it's just so interesting what people choose.
Well, I appreciate that, and probably one of the reasons it's so good is I have little to nothing to do with it. CP, Chris Pauls, is the one that writes all of those normally. Once in a while, I get to add my two cents, but, and, you know, sometimes it's just a little bit, like, fun and crazy. And then, like, yesterday we did one, well, I think it was, What's Worse, Commenting on Weight Loss or Not Commenting on Weight
That's
Loss.
That's so good.
And it actually, we have... We actually have people call, and it ended up being like a more serious discussion about what's proper, how do you handle that. We had a caller called in who had gone through weight loss, and he kind of gave, so I mean, sometimes it's more thoughtful than you might assume, but you guys know that's the fun part of radio. You work without a net, and you never know what's going to happen next.
It really was a great conversation, though, and so many valid points. I really related to... I went through a period of time where my mother died, I lost my job, and my mother-in-law died all in the span of like 3.5 months. Mm. And I lost 30 pounds because I just couldn't eat because I was a mess and I couldn't eat for 3.5 months. So I lost all this weight and everybody would go, oh, you look so good. And I'm like, thank you. I think I'm dying. That's one of those things that you really need to keep in mind. You don't know what people are going through, so you kind of got to be careful.
It's just about choosing your words. I could honestly, I mean, I had a podcast where we talked about these topics, talking about like body positivity, mental health, and those things. And really, like, I went through something similar where I didn't go through a very stressful period, but I lost a lot of weight. And before I did, a coworker of mine's like, hey, Greg, you don't need to lose weight. Ladies love big guys. I'm like, hey, guy, no, they don't.
That doesn't help me.
But then I lost like a lot of weight, like significant amounts through Weight Watchers and hard work. And I saw him like a year and a half later. He goes, man, you're looking so good. And he literally walked up to me and goes, because let's face it, you were kind of fat before. Oh, I was like, ah, cool.
Rick.
No.
Oh, dude.
No.
Todd, I can talk on this topic for a long time. And you're right. It does get heavy because people just... We want the best. We think we're
saying a nice thing.
You're looking so slim and trim. You look great. Well, what did I look like before?
Right.
So yeah. Oh.
So what is today's?
But that's why I love the question because I didn't write it, but I think we've all been in a situation where it's like, do I say something? Am I a jerk if I don't recognize it and compliment them, or am I harming? It's like. So one of the listeners said, you know, I just say, you look great. And I said, that's kind of where I'm at. You know,
believe it at that.
And I don't say it and people really don't. Yeah. Hey, you look great.
Yeah.
Today's, I should know that, shouldn't I? Hang on. Today's what's worse.
You got hours before the show.
This comes right from United. right. This comes right from the old United Methodist church book. What's worse, guilt or shame? Guilt or shame. So that's what's coming on today.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll have to think on that one. That's a good one. That's coming up today, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network on the Todd Alba Show. A couple of things we wanted to kick around, though. Todd, this is from Wisconsin Watch, and the headline from Larry Sander with the byline reads, how Wisconsin Republican lawmakers tweaked the state aid formula to benefit GOP communities. New analysis finds population tier formula Republicans crafted to deliver more local state aid has given a bigger boost to red parts of the state. Is this a surprise?
Interesting how that works, isn't it?
It is.
it's not a surprise, nor is it unexpected. We had Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee, State Senator Royce, on our show yesterday. I know you've had, I believe, her on, other people at Joint Finance before. We're right in the middle of the budget writing process, and it is controlled overwhelmingly by Republicans. That's just the way it works in past years when Democrats have controlled the Assembly and or Senate. What happens is all the members of Joint Finance, I think there are 6 from the majority party on the Assembly side, 6 of the majority party on the Senate side, and then 2 each from the minority party. So Democrats only have 4 people in total on the committee.
Right.
And so what happens is it goes through, it gets written, and surprise, surprise, Republicans are funneling quietly more money, more benefits to their districts in redder parts of the state. Then go to the blue parts. Now, Governor Evers has to either sign that, veto it, or line item veto it, whichever he chooses at the end of the day. But it really goes back, and people who are around, you know, as long as I have been, which has been a while, Lee Sherman Dreyfuss, who actually was a very, in many ways, progressive. He was the Republican governor who signed in the first law in the nation to protect LGBTQ folks from discrimination in the workplace. So Governor Dreyfuss did a lot of good things. But one of the things, and he was the chancellor at Stevens Point, UW Stevens Point, before he became governor. And he was famous for saying that Madison is 77 square miles surrounded by reality.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's always been this kind of fight between, you know, those folks in Madison, and in some cases over the years, politicians have used Milwaukee. And, Tommy Thompson was famous, I think, or was Scott McCallum, one of them, towards the end of one of their terms, said, stick it to Milwaukee.
That was Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. About stick the stadium.
Yes.
And Tommy forgot that we were on the edge of social media, and that you couldn't, you know, newspapers weren't the only way to gather information anymore.
Yeah.
And so we've seen this kind of battle between ideologies, between the rural parts of the state and Madison and Milwaukee, the 2 central, urban areas of the state. And look, I plead guilty back when I was running for office in 2004 in Southwest Wisconsin on the stump. If I recall, I said a couple of things like, you know, it's unfair that Madison and Milwaukee get disproportionate amounts of funding. And I think there's a little bit of truth to that sometimes. But I also think, if I'm being honest with myself from, 20 years ago, that the population in those areas may require more percentages of money to go there. But when you're running in rural Wisconsin, it's a lot more popular to say what I just said than sure. say the truth,
yeah.
or at least the whole truth. So I think this is, and in fairness, when Democrats have controlled, you know, people may remember a name, Wally Kanicki, when he was the Speaker of the Assembly, a Democrat, lots of money went to Milwaukee at the time. So again, I think this gets back to having honest conversations that I wish our politicians would have about not just what benefits each of us politically, but what benefits us as the state. And the reality is, as I've gotten a little older and you learn things a little bit at a time, that if our cities, if our urban areas aren't doing well, the rural areas aren't doing well. And if the rural areas aren't doing well, the urban. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Together, exactly.
And we gotta stop being so damn greedy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing too, though, I think, Todd, I mean, a lot of our smaller communities are really hurting, but there are many different reasons for this. And I heard Corrine Hendrickson that we've talked to, who has a child care center, and they were talking about, unless we do something to support families in more concrete ways, small towns are going to continue to die. They're going to see schools closing just because they don't have enough kids to go to schools. They're not going to have firefighters. They're not going to have the volunteer services that these small communities need. And a lot of it goes to housing, having enough housing, and also childcare. And if we're not going to fund, those things, it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
I wish I had a magic wand that I could do something about this, and I don't. But I heard Corrine on your show; she was our show. And I think she's making the rounds. I think it's great.
She's been busy.
She's a great spokesperson for childcare, and all those points you made are absolutely spot on, Jane. And again, childcare doesn't affect just Republican households or Democratic households. It affects everyone that has a kid, regardless of how we vote. And I just wish there was some way, not to take anything away from some of the protests going on across the state right now, but I wish that we could take those things that are more divisive and have, let's have a protest just on childcare. Or let's just have a protest on housing, things that actually bind us together and leave all the other flags and everything else at home for one day. Because I think if we were more unified on things that affect everyone, I actually think that could have an effect.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things when we have, whether it's politicians who are running for office, politicians who are sitting in office, even Joe Sapecki when he's running for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, I always want to know what they're hearing from people at the doors. And they're always going to be knocking on doors in the city or knocking on doors in the rural areas. And those kitchen table topics are the ones that connect us. And there's always this, and both sides are very guilty of this. Is like, oh, you know, we don't, what do I care about farmland? You should care a lot about farmland. Or what do I care about the cities? You should care a lot about the cities. Because this sort of, and I agree with you, Todd, is that these things that are like the most important that are on the chopping block in Madison right now are the things we need to be raising our voices a lot. And that's, you know, and if you cannot attend a protest or go to a town hall, you could always call your elected officials. And you can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. Be respectful, be kind. You're talking to an intern or an aide.
Yes.
But enough people call and tell them, hey, this is what we need. That can tip the balances.
But at the same time, you know, the Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. I know in one instance, one person waited 9 hours in order to get up and make her comments. And after they held these four things around the state, and we found out that the top three things were of concern to people were education, healthcare, and childcare. And then the Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I would be frustrated. And I really, I'm thinking about going next time to make comments before a Joint Finance Committee, just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
That I will go just to take a video of that. I mean, that is like, that would be magical, because Jane Matinera would be like the substitute teacher coming in and being like, boys, put your phones down.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that would be magical.
Exactly. Put your phones. I'm not going to start talking to you until you all put your phone in front of you face down. And I know I have your attention, fly. Look at me.
I mean, honestly, I wish I saw more people doing that, whether it's public comments or whatever. When I see politicians on their phones, I want to see someone like a teacher just stop talking. And then they're like, what's going on? I'll keep talking when you pay attention to me. This is what you're doing is disrespectful.
I had a math teacher who used to walk around with a yardstick and slam it down on the desk in front of you if he felt you weren't paying attention. We need a little more of that, I think.
Mine had just a 12-inch ruler, and she'd say, settle, settle.
Whap. Exactly. We're going to continue our conversation with Todd Alba of The Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. No matter where you are listening, Oshkosh, perhaps, you can always join us. The number is the same. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Kitty Got a Grill edition. I encourage you to stick around for that one right now.
What?
You gotta tune
kitty
in.
Kitty got a grill edition.
Kitty got a grill.
Talking about great segments.
Calvin found this one, so stick around for that. That's coming up at the end of the show. Right now, we are joined by our friend
Hello,
and colleague,
kitty.
Todd Alba from 2 to 4 across the network, and we were talking about the Joint Finance Committee having four meetings and listening to hundreds of people and then essentially throwing everything out that they heard from those people. And we had a text in from Tiffany in River Falls, listening on WLAK in Amory. And she said, I called my reps last week about the child care budget, and here is the reason their staff gave me. I asked them why they are stripping out over 600 items. They said they're separating finance from policy. They don't want the governor creating policy through the budget, so they stripped all policy out and expect the legislators to introduce bills and create legislation in order to get things funded. Now, you used to speak Republican. Can you interpret that for me?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I can. Thank you so very much for asking, Jay Matt.
Sure.
I'm old enough to remember Act 10, when in order to pass Act 10 while the Democrats were in Illinois, Scott Fitzgerald stripped out the quote-unquote policy from the fiscal matters because you didn't need the Democrats to pass the policy part, and that's how they got Act 10 done. They separated it out. So it's old parliamentarian tricks. And my feeling is they're salty. And look, I called this out on my show a little bit on the governor's creative veto pen last time around. It went to the Supreme Court, of course. We don't have to go through all that.
Right.
But just on the education stuff, look, I'm all for more money for K-12 education. I think it's terrible. Republicans have underfunded it. But Evers got fancy with his veto pen and made it 400 years
by
vetoing out certain numbers of whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad look at the end of the day. And now Republicans are retaliating by saying we're not going to put any numbers in digits in the bill. It's all going to be spelled out because it makes it harder for him to veto things. So, you know, I think this is just another trick by Republicans of the JFC. What's more disturbing to me, actually, I think you guys talked about it yesterday morning, and I picked it up with Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch in the afternoon, and that is, you know, forbidding certain things from being talked about in the next round of the joint finance hearing. You know, it's like the old soup Nazi from Seinfeld. No finance for you. No bill for you.
Yeah. That just, I mean,
that's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And it is something that is done, I'm sorry, but only by, before I make this statement, let me ask you a question, Todd. Has there been a time that you have seen where Democrats, whether it's state or federal, have in the face of criticism, critique, losing their power, have changed the rules so drastically that it just looks like poor sportsmanship and sore losing? Because, like, you look at, they lost seats in because of redistrict maps. They lost the control of the court. I mean, they lost it being solidified. They changed the makeup of certain committees in Madison. And now they're saying, well, we're just not going to talk about those things. I mean, this is just a group of people who are petulant babies.
Yeah, the honest answer is off the top of my head, I don't know to this degree. I mean, I think there's arguments to be made when, was it Decker was his first name? State senator was late, 2007, 2008. He beat Judy Robson for the majority leader for the Democrats after they won back control. And he was kind of a jerk. He changed some stuff in the state Senate, which actually kind of screwed over some people in his own party, actually. So that's one minor example. But I just think that you ask a great question, Greg. In my personal opinion, I think it's just that, and Trygve Olsen's talked about it on our show, we've just moved on both political spectrums toward this zero-sum game.
Yeah.
And nobody wins.
Our side has to get everything or nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And if you even talk to the other side, you're a bad person.
You're a traitor.
And I just don't think that doesn't serve the greater good, in my opinion.
Well, and this is a prime example, and we're not going to have nearly enough time to talk about this, but Trump killed this woke program and accidentally screws MAGA voters, the Digital Equity Act, because it had the word equity in there, got the attention of Trump minions. So now they're cutting funding, and that could eventually cut off millions for red parts to get them online. Hello,
because
Foot.
It was called
Hello,
the
Foot.
Equity
Let me shoot
Act.
You.
Yeah. Trump Truth Social out. I hate saying that. He tweeted out on Truth Social. This is a direct quote. Quote, in all caps, racist. No more woke handouts based on race, unquote. Now, the problem is, as Jane, you said, a lot of these funds were going to red states, and Senator Patty Murray, who is on the the Senate Appropriations Committee, said with Trump moving to block these funds, these states could now be denied some or possibly all of that money that goes to red states. Ask it from Greg Sargent at newrepublic.com.
Yeah, that seems like not a good thing. Because the word equity was there.
That's where we just go into this bizarro world of word salad and killing things because of what they're called. And it's sad. But never sad to join you and Greg and Kelvin. Oh. It makes my day.
Love seeing you. Love you, my friend. Join Todd today from 2 to 4 p.m.
Love you too.
Don't miss What's Worse. You never know what it's going to be. It could delve into something completely unexpected. Join Todd today from 2 to 4. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. Pick us up in New Zealand on the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.